Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. A new regime holds power today in Afghanistan, strongly pro-Soviet, even more so than the one that was overthrown yesterday. Former Deputy Premier Sabrak Karmal has taken over as president, succeeding Hafizullah Amin, who himself came to power in a military coup in September. Amin's predecessor, Nur Muhammad Taraki, was killed in that revolt, and yesterday Amin met the same fate. Radio Kabul says he was executed last night for crimes against the Afghan people. His wife, daughter, and son are also reported killed, and there are indications that large-scale purges are coming up. Fighting raged for several hours last night in Kabul, with Soviet combat forces taking an active part. Just 2 days ago, the State Department in Washington warned of a Soviet military buildup in Afghanistan, a warning amply confirmed now by events. Marvin Kalb reports the view at the department this morning.
There had been some official consideration earlier this week to take the Soviet drive into Afghanistan to the United Nations as a threat to the peace. But that idea seems now to have been dropped. Ironically, after the Russians helped manufacture a coup in Kabul and oust one Marxist leader and substitute another one more loyal to Moscow, perhaps even more effective in meeting the challenge of a spreading Islamic nationalist insurgency. The Soviet airlift of combat troops and equipment into Kabul continued for a third day, suggesting Moscow has more in mind than simply a change of the cast of characters in Kabul, namely to support that new regime in stemming and then trying to crush this insurgency. The upshot of this extraordinary Soviet military and political coup is that Russia seems to have added a new satellite to its list and to have extended Soviet influence further southward towards the unstable region around the oil-rich Persian Gulf. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Moscow radio this morning carried what must be the most deadpan report of the day. Quoting Radio Kabul, it said that the new regime in Kabul has, quote, addressed an urgent request to the USSR to provide immediate political, moral, and economic and military aid. The broadcast then added, quote, the USSR government has agreed to Afghanistan's request. Moscow says Kabul based its request on the Treaty of Friendship and Cooperation signed by Afghanistan and the Soviet Union in December 1978. President Carter today is confronted not only with a pro-Soviet coup in Afghanistan, but with a continuing crisis in Iran. Leslie Stahl reports.
President Carter is interrupting his vacation at Camp David to return to the White House today to meet with his top foreign policy advisors on the situation in Afghanistan. He'll also get a report on the visit of the three U.S. clergymen to Tehran and review the U.S. campaign to win votes in the U.N. Security Council for economic sanctions against Iran. President Carter has been personally lobbying for UN votes. According to administration officials, he is in the process of contacting the top leaders of China, the Soviet Union, and other countries on the Security Council not yet committed on the sanctions question. Officials say the U.S. is still two votes shy of the nine needed to win a partial trade boycott. Nevertheless, the officials say the Carter administration plans to take its sanctions resolution to the U.N. this weekend because on January 1st, five seats on the council change hands, and that means the administration would have to start over and launch a new lobbying campaign. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
Idaho's Republican Representative George Hansen is conducting another personal and unofficial mission in Iran, and Liz Trotta has details.
Representative Hansen, who last month was the first American to see hostages in the U.S. Embassy, is in Iran again, this time calling for a congressional investigation of American involvement in Iran. At a news conference this morning, the Idaho Republican said he has found support in Congress for such an inquiry.
Almost everyone in Congress that I've seen or talked to or read about has said that, yes, investigations are inevitable. But the question just arises now as to whether these investigations will begin before the hostages are released or after.
Hansen, who says he made this trip at his own expense, is just one of many unofficial American emissaries who have come to Iran to intervene in the crisis. Two Quakers, a rabbi, and a San Jose attorney were also present at this morning's news conference, hoping in some way to facilitate the release of the hostages. Meanwhile, there is widespread feeling here the Iranian government is hardening its position, particularly since Foreign Minister Zadeh Ghozbadeh said last night the hostages would be tried if America imposed economic sanctions against Iran. Liz Trotta, CBS News, Tehran.
The Iranian government news service said this morning that seven of the hostages have been taken to prison. CBS News got in touch with prison officials directly, and they have denied the report. So have the militants. The three American clergymen who met with the hostages over the holidays arrived back in New York last night, and Mitchell Krause tells us about them.
Today is likely to be another busy and possibly exhausting day for the three clergymen who've had only a few hours of rest since they embarked on their Christmas visit to Tehran last Sunday night. In addition to meetings with State Department officials, they will meet with some of the hostages' families and with people at the Iranian embassy in Washington, from which they received the original invitation to see the hostages. At their news conference last night after arriving in New York, the clergymen recounted the number of Americans they actually saw at the U.S. embassy. There were 43, plus the three held at the foreign ministry, and said they read in the Tehran newspaper that the students reported there were six other hostages who chose not to see the clergymen. But as to the names of the hostages seen, the minister were less precise, adding that some names might not be revealed after all if family members wanted them withheld or if the State Department had a similar request. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
One of the clergymen, the Reverend Dr. William Sloan Coffin, said we've had more lists waved at us than Senator Joseph McCarthy used to wave. A spokesman for Coffin says the three ministers plan to send a letter to Ayatollah Khomeini, hoping to persuade him to release the hostages while showing sympathy for the just grievances of the Iranian people. The first stage of Rhodesia's ceasefire operation, the deployment of 1,300 Commonwealth peacekeeping troops, is scheduled for completion late today, some hours before the ceasefire formally goes into effect. Robin Wright reports from Salisbury.
The forces will be stationed at 16 assembly points and 23 rendezvous points where Patriotic Front guerrillas are to begin turning themselves in tomorrow. All insurgents will be granted total amnesty upon reporting to the assembly points. The insurgents will be allowed to keep their weapons. They will also be able to leave the camps if they decide they no longer want to participate in the ceasefire. Patriotic Front co-leader Robert Mugabe has been giving hourly broadcasts on Mozambique radio, asking his forces to cooperate with the ceasefire. However, he warned all guerrillas to retain their arms in case of violations by the Rhodesian army. All Rhodesian troops have been instructed to return to their company bases, where they will also be monitored by Commonwealth forces. British officials refuse to speculate on the initial success of the operation, since there is concern that guerrillas remain suspicious of the ceasefire. The death of Patriotic Front military leader Josiah Tongogara 2 days ago in a car accident in Mozambique may also inhibit guerrillas who have doubts about the untimely death of their commander. Robin Wright, CBS News, Salisbury.
A Rhodesian government spokesman remarks that the entire effort depends on the goodwill of the forces on all sides. At least 8 persons are known dead, others missing, in storms that have struck large areas of the British Isles. Larry Miller has the latest in London.
Many parts of Britain are still flooded following 24 hours of gale force winds and torrential rains which batter the country. Authorities say it's the worst storm to hit southwest England and Wales in 10 years. More than 3.5 inches of rain fell in Cornwall on the southwest coast. Many towns and villages became isolated when rushing rivers overflowed their banks. Brecon in Wales was under 5 feet of water, and troops were called in to help in the emergency. At Treofod, also in Wales, 900 people were evacuated from their homes. And 8 American seamen from the ocean-going tug, the Gulf Majesty, were rescued by helicopter from stormy seas. While at London's Heathrow Airport, a Pan American 747 cargo plane was blown off the runway during landing. The plane skidded to a stop, just 100 yards short of a crowded passenger terminal. Larry Miller for CBS News, London.
Gold did it again today on the London bullion market. It was fixed at a record $515 an ounce, and it's trading at about the same level in Zurich. Silver also continues to rise. It's selling at $28.25 an ounce. The dollar closed a bit lower in Tokyo, but it's holding firm on the European markets. CBS News. President Carter is meeting at this hour with the National Security Council to discuss recent developments in Iran and Afghanistan. I'm Dallas Townsend, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Carter ended his holiday visit to Camp David this morning and went into conference at the White House with his top foreign policy advisors, including Vice President Mondale, Secretary of State Vance, CIA Director Turner, and National Security Advisor Brzezinski. On the agenda, the current standoff in Iran and yesterday's coup in Afghanistan. One White House official called the coup an incredible development and said it was tantamount to a Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Today, there are reports of scattered resistance to the revolt that ousted one Soviet-backed regime and replaced it with another Moscow-oriented government. A report from Japan's embassy in Kabul said sporadic gunfire was heard near the road between the Soviet embassy and the old royal palace, believed to be still in the hands of followers of Hafizullah Amin, the ousted president who was executed last night. The report also says Soviet MiG-21 warplanes circled the capital. Afghanistan's new leader is Babrak Karmal, described by Western intelligence sources as a classic Moscow-leaning communist. The Iran story in a minute.
The Kmart Camera Department presents Goof Proof and a whole lot more.
Put Kmart in the picture. With Goof Proof you don't pay for prints of any shots you take that don't come out okay.
I'd like to have this film Goof Proofed.
Certainly, sir. At Kmart, you never have to pay for prints that don't come out right.
Yeah, I know a little girl who saves an awful lot of money that way.
Put Kmart in the picture for finishing and more.
Kmart has great ways to keep your goof-proof prints, too. Through January 5th, for instance, you can save one-third off the regular price on a magnetic photo album with five two-sided pages, post or snap binder, solid or scenic cover. On sale at $2.97.
Put Kmart in the picture and make your pictures nice and pay for just the prints you like at a Kmart kind of price.
One of the Iranian militants holding hostages in Tehran has denied that any of the Americans have been removed from the embassy. He says the three clergymen visited with all the captives on Christmas. The militant, identified only as Habib and interviewed by ABC News, said the exact number of hostages is known only by some of the captors. He said the American clergymen saw all the hostages but in different parts of the embassy, and thus they may have been confused about the number of persons they saw. Former CIA agent Philip Agee, now in West Germany, is fighting to keep his passport. Agee, mentioned as a possible member of an international tribunal to try the U.S. hostages, was stripped of his passport last week when State Department officials feared he was planning to leave Hamburg for Tehran. More on Agee's case from Wellington Long in Bonn.
Normally, the Germans deport any foreigner who no longer holds a valid passport or other travel document issued by his own government. But a Hamburg police spokesman said AG had acted to forestall deportation. At about noon Friday, AG made written application asking the police to refrain from taking any action to deport him until they learn the outcome of an appeal being made in Washington by his American lawyers. German officials probably will grant a temporary stay, but if AG's Washington lawyers fail to win back his passport, then the Germans will move to deport him. Wellington Long for CBS News, Bonn.
Liberal Democrats who backed Senator Kennedy for president have filed suit in Washington federal court, charging that top White House aides and cabinet members are using federal money to buy the Democratic nomination for President Carter. The suit alleges that Carter aides are engaged in what it calls a concerted course of conduct designed to use public funds to get the nomination. More news in a moment.
Speed relief to head and stomach. Help ourselves are fast, fast, fast.
When you overdo the holiday pleasures, Alka-Seltzer is a Yuletide treasure.
Oh, what a relief it is.
Read and follow label directions.
And happy holidays from Alka-Seltzer.
Here's another first from Amana. The Amana three-door ice and water refrigerator. The first side-by-side refrigerator with an ice and water dispenser built in separately from the two freezer doors. That saves on wear and tear. That also gives you a freezer above the ice and water dispenser for everyday frozen foods and one below for longer storage. The Amana three-door ice and water refrigerator. The first refrigerator with a separate built-in ice and water dispenser. Amana, backed by a century-old tradition of fine craftsmanship.
The oil exporting nations are beginning a new round of price increases. Industry sources say Iraq, OPEC's second largest exporter, has raised the price of its crude from $24 to $26 a barrel, retroactive to December 1st. Indonesian oil has gone up to $30 a barrel. Venezuela will announce a price increase of its own later today. The price of gold is still residing in the exclusive $500 an ounce neighborhood, but the dollar is holding steady on most of the foreign money markets. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.26. Volume on the big board so far, 15,300,000 shares. Dallas Townsend, CBS News.
CBS News, the Soviets say they are supporting the new regime in Afghanistan. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. TASS says the Russians played a role in the Afghan revolution because the side of Babrak Karmal asked for help. And furthermore, says Moscow, more help still is on the way. Babrak is the founder of the Communist Party in Afghanistan. The man he ousted, he also had executed. Afghan radio says Amin and members of his immediate family have all been killed, and there will be more purges, trials, and probable executions. Well, this is day 55 of the American captivity in Tehran. The three clergymen who visited them on Christmas have a round of briefings in Washington today with the State Department, the Iranian diplomats who made the trip possible, and the families of some of the 43 hostages they saw. The Iranian news agency reports another flare-up in Tabriz, the capital of Azerbaijan. Members of a dissident group have wounded one revolutionary guard, the agency says, and took several more hostage. More news after this.
Dreaming dreams, we all do. Working hard so they come true. You can get a helping hand at Kmart stores, they understand.
Kmart is your saving store, where your dollar buys you more.
Here's a powerful sale for a powerful new era. The age of electronics is here. Meet it with a dynamic power source of the 80s, the Eveready 9-volt alkaline power cell, sale priced for just $1. The Eveready alkaline power cell is an ideal power source for radios, calculators, many smoke and fire alarm systems, as well as Christmas toys and games. So stock up now on the Eveready 9-volt alkaline power cell, sale priced at just $1 through Saturday at Kmart. Iraq and Indonesia produce about 20% of OPEC's oil and both posted price increases today. Iraq went to $26 a barrel, Indonesia to more than $30. Iraq supplies very little of the oil bought by the United States, while Indonesia accounts for about 2%. Venezuela, a major supplier of U.S. oil, is raising its price by $2 a barrel to $26 effective New Year's Day. A group of liberal Democrats has filed suit against the White House staff and several cabinet officers, charging that they are using federal funds to influence the Democratic nomination in behalf of President Carter. Most of the plaintiffs are identified with the Edward Kennedy campaign, among them attorney Joseph Rao, a prime mover of the old ADA.
What they've done is to send people around with on federal funds. What they've done is to order the employees to support the president and not to support Senator Kennedy. And above all, they've given out federal funds for grants only to mayors who are willing to say, I'm for Carter.
Britain today set the date for Rhodesian elections beginning February 27th. The success of that timetable depends largely on what happens, though, in the next few hours. 5 hours from now, a ceasefire is scheduled to take effect. Guerrilla insurgents are supposed to come out of their redoubts and enter special encampments, all under the supervision of a handful of Commonwealth troops and observers. Public education in Cleveland has been closed down since October. Today, a judge told the school board and the teachers to resolve their 72-day long pay dispute, or he'll do something on his own. 92,000 students have been out of classes all fall in Cleveland. Hundreds of National Guardsmen are the fire defense of Kansas City today, firefighters continuing to call in sick. Meanwhile, a major fire gutted a $5.5 million building under construction. Officials are probing the rubble of the building for traces of some cause. Now this.
Deck the halls with flop, flop, fizz, fizz, fa la 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 la.
This Christmas carol is dedicated to all you last-minute shoppers. You fought the crowds, you've eaten on the run, and now you're saying bah humbug to acid indigestion and an aching head. Well, take Alka-Seltzer, the sound of fast relief. Just read and follow label directions. Soon you'll be singing.
Oh, what a relief it is. La 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 la.
Happy holidays from Alka-Seltzer.
Hi, this is Michael Landon. You know, my family is the most important part of my life. So family pictures mean a lot. That's why we get ours printed on Kodak paper. To me, Kodak says quality. You know, using Kodak film doesn't automatically get you Kodak paper. You've got to look for a store with a Kodak paper sign. Really, everybody does. That means me too. Look for the Kodak paper sign when you get your pictures developed. And tell them Michael sent you.
Just ask for Kodak paper for a good look.
They're picking up the pieces of a second cruise missile that fell short of its target and landed in Southern California. This one was launched from a B-52 over the Pacific and targeted for the Utah test range. A short time later, a rancher's wife near Lompoc called Vandenberg Air Force Base to say there's a missile down just off Halama Road. The test missile had landed 800 miles off target, not far from the picturesque U.S. Highway 1 that winds up the California coast. Another cruise recently bellywhopped into Los Padres Forest and started a small fire. On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Industrial Average is off a fraction, 0.91, volume more than 20 million. Reed Collins, CBS News.